The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Hike in home heating oil here in Ireland is 8 times the EU average. This is according to new figures obtained by the Sinn Féin MEP Lynn Boylan. Prices jumped over 27% in the last week. Just over 3% was the average across the 27 EU member states. So what is going on? Well, Kevin McPartlin is CEO of Fuels for Ireland, and Kevin is here with me in the studio. Michael Fitzmaurice, Independent Ireland TD for Roscommon Galway, is on the line. Michael, I'll come to you first. I doubt you're surprised to hear this, because I know anecdotally you've been hearing about the increases when it comes to fuel. This relates to kerosene, though. We have a particular case in Ireland around kerosene. We use a lot more of it, and it's the one that's going up in price.
Yeah, well, I think the first thing that needs to be stated is that in some parts of Europe, they use a lesser quality product. That's the first thing that needs to be stated, to be fair to everybody. But let's deal with the first week of the crisis. On the Monday morning after the war broke out, it was nearly take your pick in the line of kerosene prices. Now, I would say it was gouging, and I'd say that very clearly for the simple reason. The oil was in the tanks. I have seen prices, and I've done a fair detailed analysis of this, depending on who you are. And I'm buying diesel, not kerosene, but I'm buying diesel for 40, 50 years for contracting. And always, if you were a big buyer, you'd be getting it 4 or 5 cents cheaper than someone that's just getting the standard amount. Mm-hmm. And the prices varied that morning for even the big operators, 10 to 15 cent. The oil was in the tank, and what went on that week was disgusting. The price of what a government gets is another day's work, and we're moved on to that at the moment.
So, sorry, you're but saying that the big buyers were getting it for 10 to 15 cent cheaper?
No. What I'm saying is, in the big buyers, you know, what we would call contractors will always get it if you're using a lot of diesel compared with someone getting 500 liters. And they'll always get it a few cents. Now, it's only, and this is down through the years. This isn't
this is the standard.
There's a standard in this down through the years. And on that week, for even the bigger buyers, I know where on the Monday morning you could buy diesel at 99 cent, and you could buy it at 95 cent, including VAT. And people were quoted 1.11 or 1.12, including VAT.
Mm-hmm. That's so that's where you say, you pinpoint that Monday morning after the war started on the Saturday, that's where, for you, the gouging was happening. That's what you say.
But it would be the same suppliers. It would be the same suppliers. It's not that it was different. So that's the proof. The proof is there of it.
All right.
And, I want to say hello to Kevin as well. But I want to bring Kevin in.
People,
the amount of people that was ringing for the likes of kerosene, I think he has admitted himself that some of the companies decided to push it up to try and stop them buying, which is a phenomenal, you know, in my opinion, a phenomenal statement.
Kevin, thanks for coming in. So I just want to address these figures now, firstly, because this is really shocking, isn't it? That the average increase over the 27 EU members in kerosene was 3%, home heating oil, and it was 27% in Ireland. What is going on?
So we need to understand the actual differences in the markets here. So as Michael actually correctly said, we're the only country in Europe that uses kerosene for home heating oil. The rest of them use a diesel-type product for home heating oil. So we're not comparing like with like, first of all. Second thing, then, we have to understand why kerosene increased more sharply than diesel, so why that differential existed. So if we think about the Strait of Hormuz, we've all now become experts in Middle Eastern geography recently. No petrol coming into the European Union is going through the Strait of Hormuz. About 5% of the diesel that we use in the European Union is coming through that route, but 30% of all the kerosene is coming through there. So that meant that when this attack happened on Iran last Saturday morning, there was an immediate spike on the wholesale markets for kerosene, which dwarfed that for petrol and diesel. And that's still the case. It's still more deeply affected.
And can you explain to me why we use kerosene here?
it's a historic thing. I think it's probably because that was what the British used for home heating oil. We use it here because we are largely, in oil terms, a single market. You know, we take most of our stock backwards and forwards from the UK. So I think that's why.
But they don't use it.
Oh, they do. They use kerosene.
But not to the extent that we do. Otherwise,
well, we have a higher dependency on home heating oil than any of the European countries. So 40% of homes in Ireland and in some counties as much as 90% use home heating oil. That's because we don't have the natural gas grid.
But can you use an alternative if you are buying kerosene now to heat your home? Can you use an alternative?
No, because your boiler isn't set up to use anything else. So people are saying, well, we should switch then to use diesel, but then that would mean every house in the country would need a new boiler, which is an expensive, time-consuming thing. So, but it's worth pointing out, you know, when we're talking about the rapid increase in prices, look, we get that they were very, very significant, and that hurts people, and people who are struggling and businesses that are struggling, that's an extra cost that they weren't expecting and finding it hard to bear. But we need to understand why it is. And it is because prices are fixed at the last point of sale. So if a small oil distributor in County Roscommon, they are buying from one of the importers, their wholesale price is fixed when the tank leaves the terminal building. So that's probably Dublin Port. Now, that they in turn will have paid a price for the import that was set when the vessel left its last port, which is, in our case, is usually Wales. So that's 6 hours. So the lag is hours rather than days. And when Michael talks about the really rapid increase that on Monday morning that those prices had shot up, what happened was people left their fuel depots on Friday evening or some worked on Saturday morning. But those that had web ordering systems, they came in on Monday morning, they had 10 days worth of orders in.
So they took the hit as well, the supplier.
People actually sold at a loss last week.
But you are prepared to admit, aren't you, that some retailers of this fuel went, aha, now let's put the price up because we can.
Let's put the price up, but why? Because they knew that they were having to fulfil 10 days of orders in one day. And they don't have, Michael is incorrect to say there's piles of stock sitting in yards. It just doesn't happen that way. They're refreshed daily or every couple of days, even the smaller yards, and some are refreshed many times in a day. Why they then said, aha, we have to put price up, is because they know that the 10 days that they were going to have to sell were going to be bought
so
in at that new higher
absolutely
price.
Absolutely no price gouging going on in any part of the country over the course of this war.
Well, let's wait for the CCPC to come and conclude their investigation, because I'm 100% confident that's exactly what they will find, as they found the last time there was a situation like this in the immediate aftermath of Ukraine.
But, well, Michael, what do you say
Leinster
to that?
House and talked about gouging and profiteering.
And it wasn't happening, you say?
Not only am I not saying it didn't happen, the CCPC have said that it didn't happen.
Right, Michael, doesn't happen.
The dog in the street. The dog in the street knows what went on. Let's be clear on this. The oil that was in tanks, and the CCCP is, and Kevin is correct on this, they need to go and look at a few things. What was the general trend of, say, oil prices going back the last 18 months? What was the general trend of profit, we'll say, on it, or the price it was set at compared with the price they were buying it at? What was in stock? This is the crucial part of it. What was in stock at your depot, whether you're a distributor, whether you're, if you're a shop or whatever that's selling it? What was the price, or what had you in stock?
Mm-hmm. But Kevin says they don't carry, lots of stock, as some of us might imagine.
Yeah, but let's be clear on this. If they don't carry it, we'd want lorries going up, we'd want lorries at every shop on Monday morning. Ironically enough, it looked as if everyone was out of diesel on the Monday morning. The facts are the word, and let no one say the word, because anyone that runs a business doesn't be down to the last thimbleful or spoonful on the Monday morning. There was stuff in stock, there was gouging going on, but let the CCPC sort that out. The second part is, and this is what I cannot fathom, down through the years, anyone that knows the diesel game or the oil game will know that kerosene was always 2 cents less than green diesel. What we use in tractors is green diesel. Mm-hmm. Kerosene was always 2 cents for the last number of years. Ask anybody in the oil business.
And what's it now?
Now, it's gone way ahead of it. It's gone way ahead of it.
But that's because of that structural market issue, which is that we get far more kerosene through the Strait of Hormuz than we do diesel or petrol. And that's why that impact is happening. And Michael, you're a champion for small businesses and small businesses in rural Ireland in particular. Oh. So you'll understand this better than most. You talk about there being people don't run their stocks down. Actually, that's exactly what does happen in the fuel business at the end of a month, because the way the credit terms work, if they had ordered fuel on Friday the 27th of February, they would have had to pay for it on the 10th of March. If they ordered it on the 1st of March, they would pay for it on the 10th of April. So it is exactly the thing that you've said doesn't happen, is exactly what did happen, and there is a very clear reason why. So, and also to talk about, you know, there being anti-competitive behaviour, when you have just said that there was a range of 10 to 15 cents a litre on the Monday morning for diesel prices, indicates that there was harsh competition going on, because people were setting prices based on when they had bought in their new stock.
It indicates one thing, that some companies held the price and was okay about it, and some companies took advantage of it. That's the facts. But look at, we can argue here all day on this programme about it. The CCCP needs to do exactly what I'm saying. It's not above in Dublin they need to be looking. They need to be looking at the distributors around the country, right around the country. I'm not picking any company.
Well, last time they did that, Michael, the CCPC investigated 50% of all of the forecourts in the country and found a clean bill of health.
Can I speak? What had they in stock on that Monday morning? What was it got in at, and what price it was being sold at? That'll be the proof in the pudding.
Mm-hmm.
And the Michael, when that report is published,
a totally different ball game. This week is a totally different ball game. We are moved on now to where we have to look as well at government taxes, because as you've pointed out, Kevin, before, in 180, a government is one tenner or they've are 106 or 108. That's a huge problem, and the price of diesel worldwide has gone up now the second week. But the first week, let no one say that there wasn't a certain amount of basically people profiting out of it.
Well, Michael, I hope now you were one of the people in 2022 who called on the CCPC to investigate and used the same sort of language that you're using today. So I hope when the CCPC publishes a report this time, that you will be a bit more public in acknowledging the findings. You never came out last time and said, actually, I was wrong.
You know the problem as well as I know, Kevin. At the end of the day, there's only a few companies bringing Ireland to Ireland. When you deliver that to somebody else, it's either up to the customer. When the CCCP looks at something, it's up to the customer whether they take something or not. No more than if I go in buying a car and one car is 10,000 cheaper than the other, that I buy something. At the end of the day, the problem is the CCCP can look at something, but at the end of the day, if a private enterprise sets a price, you either take it or leave it. That's our big problem in this country. But it's not good what happened to householders.
But are you saying that the CCPC got it wrong then the last time when they found no fault?
No, I'm not saying they got it wrong, because at the end of the day, Claire, if you have an open market and you have to watch EU law on dealing with free trade for private enterprise, you're caught between a rock and a hard place. And that is a major problem.
Mm-hmm.
There's no point in saying it's not.
Kevin, the listeners want to know, will the prices drop fast when the price is reduced, or will they take a while to filter through as usual? I'm getting that from a few people. Ask him why fuel prices don't fall just as fast. He said they don't hold stock, so fuel prices then should drop as fast as they go up.
And they do. And that's demonstrably true. So I was at a meeting last week with the Department for Climate, Energy and Environment, where NORA, the National Oil Reserves Agency, presented data that showed the lag between wholesale refined product prices. And that's the key thing. People look at crude oil prices and think that should be, you know, a direct line within a couple of days. That's not the key indicator. The indicator is the global markets for refined products, kerosene, diesel,
so it's
petrol.
When it's been through its production.
Exactly. And the evidence shows that it mirrors that exactly, with a lag of hours, not days. This is what it comes back to.
When it comes down, really? Because I think most people would feel that is not the case.
Well, the data is there to be seen, and it's demonstrably the case.
Mm-hmm.
So that was actually found in the last CCPC report also.
So this reliance on kerosene, are you saying that there's nothing we can do about that in Ireland without the boilers being changed in every house in the country?
Well, there's nothing we can do today to change that. I mean, longer term, look, there is the push toward heat pumps and these sorts of things for heating, which works for a lot of people, works for houses that are highly energy efficient or are going through a big refurb. What we're looking at is increasing the amount of renewable fuel that we can put into the blend that goes into home heating oil. That is something which would actually improve this situation, because the feedstocks don't necessarily come from the areas that we're relying on for the refined kerosene at the moment.
The news this morning, Michael, is that the Americans now are going in and targeting these mines, mine-laying vessels that the Iranians have in place. I mean, All of that means that the Strait of Hormuz is going to be compromised for potentially a very long time. If that's where the kerosene is coming through, then we're trussed up like a chicken here when it comes to the price of what we're putting in to heat homes.
Yeah, well, first, I think that it would be advisable, and I'm not a plumber, so I'm not going to be given recommendations, but I would have looked at this a certain amount. There, people should talk to their plumbers. My understanding on the kerosene, the reason it was kerosene is used in Ireland, and I'm open to correction on this, but it's so a lot of our boilers were indoors. I think that was the reason that kerosene was being used here. Second of all, there is mechanisms or say things you can adjust, but it would be for plumbers to advise their people in relation to using the likes of HVO or you are using diesel. My understanding is there is a mechanism that you wouldn't have to change the whole stuff, lock, stock and barrel. But there's one ironic part in this as well. I noticed in the article this morning, and I'm no expert on it, but it said because of the air industry that kerosene is attached to that. Ironically enough, someone flying out of Dublin Airport today doesn't pay any carbon tax on the flight that they're going on because the EU has made a decision that there be no carbon tax on flights. The poor old devil down the country that had to endure 60, 70, 80, 90% of a rise last week on their home heating aisle, when there is this attachment to kerosine, is paying, I think, carbon something tax. Like 16 to 19 cent carbon tax on it.
Okay, and so, and I know that, Kevin, that's an issue for you as well, isn't it? The tax on the fuel.
Well, we'll maybe end on a note of unity because Michael and I agree that the government really needs to have a hard look at the tax that they're charging, because every price increase that's going on in global markets is compounded by the fact that we pay more tax on petrol, diesel and kerosene than any other member state of the EU.
We're going to leave that one there, but thank you both. Kevin McPartlin and Michael Fitzmaurice, thank you both. Your messages, 087 1400 106, that's the WhatsApp number.
The Clare Byrne Show with Aviva Insurance. Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.